following is a KVON sports presentation.
It's high school baseball coming to you from Cleve Borman Field in Yountville, California at the Veterans Hall. It's the big game. It's Napa High against Finney in high school baseball action coming your way on a Thursday afternoon. Good evening, everyone, or afternoon, the late afternoon, but we're moving into baseball action, hopefully prior to the rain. A few drops have already joined us here at Cleve Borman Field, and we're just about ready to get the baseball game underway. A's losing 6-3. The Napa Indians finishing their warm-ups. Finney's Crushers, the home team today, and it's all sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. We're working in a little different setup today. Normally, we have our equipment sending the signal through the airwaves, but because of some technical difficulties as a result of the big fire we had in October, we have to use a phone setup. And with that, we cannot use the interviews that we usually have on our pregame. But anyway, welcome in. Nice to have you along, and we'll get the scene set here now for this big game in baseball. Joining us today, we have Travis Rogers with his colorful color commentary, and Jake Grant. And our engineer is Charles Kennedy. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we're just about ready to get the game underway. These two teams have already experienced some games that have been postponed due to the rain, and we're going to be getting more rain here very shortly. They're hopeful that it will not happen until after this game is over. So let's say hello to our crew. First of all, Travis Rogers, nice to see you here at a baseball field.
Great to see you, Ira. I just wish it was a little bit better weather. It's starting to rain.
Yeah, we're going to be feeling that a bit. And Jake Grant also with us here at Cleve Borman Field.
That's great. I love baseball season. I'm excited to be out here. I've always loved this field. It reminds me of a, like I should be seeing, you know, Ty Cobb sharpening his spike in the dugout. It's got that feel to it.
It's a beautiful field. It's got some refinements this year. It's kind of a new look here at Cleve Borman Field. It has a new pitcher's mound. There are new mounds in the, both bullpens. New padding behind home plate, and that's right where we are now, and so it's good to see that structure with that new netting. It replaced a cyclone fence that was behind the plate, and credit a lot to Matt Leachman and the Napa Valley Baseball Club, which is affiliated with the American Legion Baseball, for a lot of work they have done. This field here drains better than it used to. They have volunteer groundskeepers who really take good care of this facility. In fact, they even have a new tarp that they have covering the pitcher's mound to prevent rain from interfering with that. Took a couple days to take down the cyclone fencing, then another couple to put in the netting that we can experience right in front of us. And Community Projects helped out by donating $8,000 toward the cause, which was about half of what it was going to cost to do the renovation. And congratulations also to American Legion Post 113 in Napa, which is a sponsor. And the baseball season for the, I guess, say American Legion teams, there are four age groups that are affiliated with that. We'll be getting underway very shortly. Minor league baseball getting underway today, and I know that Travis Rogers has been around the country visiting a lot of ballparks.
Yeah, we hit about eight or nine this past season. Don't have any big trips planned this year, though.
How many different ones have you seen altogether?
Seen at least one game in 45 different major league parks.
Oh, wow, that is just something. We're going to take time out. I think they're going to have the national anthem. I'm not sure, but I would imagine, since we're here at the Veterans Home, that will be coming up. But right now, the Vinny's Crushers are taking to the field. Eli Wood is going to be the starting pitcher. Ronnie Porter is going to be behind the plate. And they will have Davide Magoto as the first baseman. Troy Gizletta, second base. Zach Hosen will be the shortstop. Harrison Goligura will be at third base. Max Phipps out in left field. Jason Brandow in center field. And Nolan Brown will be the right fielder. Batting order for the Napa Indians, coming in with a 6-6 record, 0-1 in the league. They have lost one in a row. That was yesterday, as they lost a 2-1 game to Rodriguez. Colton Mayer will be leading off and playing center field. Jason Friday will be batting second, playing center field. Caden Cortez is the catcher, hitting third. Nathan Jessel will bat cleanup and play shortstop. Brandon Herter will be out in the right field. Charles Gravett will be playing first base. Andrew Raymond gets the start on the mound. Trent Mayer, the brother of Colton, will be playing at third base. Trent, by the way, is only a sophomore. He's batting in the eighth spot. And batting in the ninth spot is Omar Gonzalez, another sophomore. He will be playing second base. And we're going to get underway without the national anthem. So here we have Eli Wood on the mound and the batting order we just gave you, with Mayer leading off. He's a right-handed batter and a right-handed pitcher on the mound. And we're underway. A swing and a miss as we get the game started with that opening pitch.
Start a little early. 3:55 supposed to start at 4 o'clock. That's a nice opener.
They want to try to beat that rain. The next pitch is up a little high, taking for a ball. Mayer dropped a bat. As we mentioned, right-handed. He stepped out of the box for a moment, looked down the third baseline there. Takes the pitch for a ball. Then we have Michael Crandall coaching down the third baseline. Dom Romero coaching down the first baseline. And the pitch just missed somewhere. Makes it 3-1. The count to leadoff batter, Colt Mayer. It's big game time. Napa at the plate, Vintage in the field, and the pitch is taken for 4. So Mayer gets aboard here to start the game.
It was a good at-bat for him because he was seeing the ball through.
All right, the next batter is Jason Friday. He's a left-handed batter. He's the 5'10 senior, the son of head coach Todd Friday. Got another son, Jack Friday, who is over at Sonoma State. He's redshirting this year, and the first pitch to Friday, just a little inside.
Yeah, so far the pitcher's been a little bit low, and he was inside to both hitters, this time inside to the left-hander.
Short lead off of first base is Mayer. Friday holds that bat high as pitch is hit down to the second baseman, over his glove out into right field. Going into second base, standing up is Colton Mayer, and holding on at first base with a seeing eye single. That just took a bad hop there. I don't think you can give second baseman just let an error on that.
I agree totally. It took a bad hop, popped about a foot over his left from what he expected.
All right, that will bring another right-hander to the plate with nobody out here for Napa in the first inning.
They did give him an error. I don't believe that. Okay. They charged him with an error.
Okay. And they put, it should have been E4, but they didn't show an E4 up there on the board. They just had E5.
That
would be the third baseman. All right, it's 0-1 to Caden Cortez. Here's the next pitch, and he flaps it down toward the shortstop and fielded there. There's a long throw across the diamond, and it's not in time as Cortez fakes it out for a base hit. Mayer moves around to third base. Friday stops at second base, and Napa High has the bases loaded with nobody out.
Shortstop got the ball quickly. It was just hit a little too slowly for him to be able to make the play.
And the grass slowed it down a bit, too. It feels in great shape. What a beautiful place to play ball. Here is Jessel, Nathan Jessel, a senior, out of 6-footer, plays shortstop, and he watched the pitch, and it was a good one, breaking over for a call strike. Umpire came in from Sacramento, talked to him before the game. He said, long drive, and hopes it doesn't get rained out. Here's the hesitation there, an 0-1 delivery on the way, and that missed outside and a little bit low, too. Mayer is the base runner at third base. Friday is at second base. Cortez is at first. Jessel at the plate. And Brandon Herter is on deck for Napa High here in the first inning. And the ball is hit foul. Goes out of play. Right fielder is playing quite a way toward center field. leaving a bit of a gap down that right field line, but you got a right-handed batter up there, so they expect him to maybe pull the ball somewhat, although the center fielder is playing straightaway center. Hardly any breeze, so that is not a factor. Here's the ball is slapped down the third base line. It's going to be in there. Could be extra bases. Here's one run scoring. Mayer is in. Friday, he rounds there. He's on his way. He comes in. He scores. Ortiz, he rounds second. Holds on at third base. And Jessel drives in a pair of runs with a double down that left field line. And there are still no outs. Cortese winds up at third base, Jessel at second base, and Mayer and Friday both score.
Perfectly placed ground ball. It's just about a foot and a half fair down the line. Got well down into the corner to get the two runs in.
Brandon Herder, a left-handed batter, is up there, and he watches the first pitch up high for ball one. The 5'8 senior plays right field defensively for the Napa High Indians. The 121st year for Napa High. And the 46th year for Vinny. Ball is hit down towards the shortstop. Little number. Slowly hit. Shortstop picks it up. And they got him. Well, that was a close play at first. That was one of those that could have gone either way.
The state tie goes to the runner, and it really looked like he had just beaten the throw. But no replays here at high school level.
Well,
no reviews.
He is out 6-3. But a run did score. He gets an RBI. And the batter now is Gravett. Gravett, raised from the basketball season. He's a first baseman on the defensive side. So one out now to another run in. Ball is hit down the shortstop again. He feels it. Here comes a runner in to score. And the throw to first base in time. Gravett grounds out 6-3, and he gets an RBI. And that allowed Jessel to score from third. It makes it 4-0 here in the inning with Mayer, Friday, Cortese, and Jessel all scoring. So that will bring up Andrew Raymond, who is the opposing pitcher of Eli Wood. Well, I tell you, the ball's just, they haven't been hit that sharply, and they're causing the infielders to hurry their throws.
It is, and the field's a little bit slow, just a little bit moist with the sprinkles we've got in here.
Well, the breaking pitch, that broke over for a strike. So it's no balls, one strike. Andrew Raymond, right-handed batter, and he hits the ball toward left field. Left fielder going over, still on the run. Shortstop going back, third baseman coming over. Shortstop calls for it. Under it is Zach Hosen, and Hosen takes the ball for the third out. So Raymond pops up to the shortstop. In that inning, four runs scored. There were three hits in the inning and a walk. We move into the bottom half of the first inning, and the score is Napa High 4, Vinny's coming to the plate. Well, we're back here at Cleve Borman Field in Yountville. Quite an opening top half of the first inning for Napa High.
Yes, it was. A lot of close plays. One play that was called out. Ground ball that went for a double. Down the line. Got the third baseman. So baseball's game of inches.
I also mentioned that the Vintage Crushers come in with a 6-5 record. They are 1-1 in the league. They also lost one in a row. Max Phipps will be leading it off. Troy Gisletta batting second, and Jason Brandow hitting third for the Crushers here in the bottom half of the first inning as the rain starts to come down a bit, and that's always messy as far as our support sheets and our material. So we have Andrew Raymond, right-hander on the mound. The Caden Cortese is his catcher. Charles Gravett, the first baseman. Omar Gonzalez is at second base. Nathan Jessel, the shortstop. And Trent Mayer is the third baseman. His brother, Colton Mayer, is in left field. The ball is hit down to the second baseman. Gonzalez drops it, picks it up, throws just in time. Gonzalez to Gravett for the first out here. Gisletta will be coming to the plate. And we were giving you the fielding assignments with Colton Mayer out in left field. Jason Friday is the center fielder for Napa High, and Brandon Herder is out there in right field. The right-hander, Raymond, ready to go to work on the second batter, Gisletta. And the ball is slapped slowly down the third baseman. Fields it on the high hop. There's his throw to first. And the ball is deflected away as looked like Gravett was trying to get the ball at the same time the runner was arriving, and they made a little bit of a collision, and the runner actually hit the glove hand of Gravett.
It caused the ball to fall out, and his wrist is stinging a little bit, you can tell, on Charles, the first baseman.
Well, we'll see if they call that a hit or an out or an error. Well, it wasn't an out or an error, but
gave him a hit.
They gave him a base hit. So one on, one out. Brandow, the batter, the center fielder, another right-handed batter. It's just missed outside for a ball. Eli Wood, the opposing pitcher, on deck, batting in the cleanup slot today. Napa High leading 4-0 here in the bottom half of the first inning. Scheduled 7-inning contest at Cleve Borman Field in Yountville. The breaking pitch, boy, that broke over nicely.
That was beautiful. Absolutely. Went from the batter's inside to outside right over the plate.
Well, it's flagging straightaway center field, not showing any wind affecting it. Another breaking pitch that caught the outside corner. That was a pretty pitch, too. Oh, Raymond coming in with some good pitches here in the bottom half of the first inning.
Yes, he is. I'm surprised the batter didn't go for that one because that one started in the middle of the plate.
Gisletta takes a short lead off of first. There he goes. Pitches up high. Bounds off the catcher's glove. And Gisletta will steal second base without a play. So runner in scoring position now for the Chrysers. Rich Anderson, the coach for the Vintage Chrysers, in his 26th year. Boy, he has given a lot back to the community.
He's run a very, very successful program throughout the years. Very few down years in those 26.
He's also worked with the American Legion program for a long time. He doesn't at the present time, but he started back in 1988 with that. The pitch was taken down low for Brandow. He's 6'2" senior, center fielder for the Chrysers. Billy Smith coaching down the first baseline. Rich Anderson down the third baseline for the Chrysers. Breaking pitch broke over. Wow, that was a pretty pitch for called strike three on Brandow. When you do that to the third hitter in the lineup, that shows some pretty good breaking stuff.
If he keeps pitching like this, he's going to be very, very hard to hit. That pitch is breaking beautifully. We saw three of them in a row.
Well, the right-handed batter, Wood, takes the pitch up a little high for a ball. Eli is about a 6'1 junior. He's the opposing pitcher. So it's pitcher opposing pitcher here in the bottom of the first. 4-0, Napa in the lead. Here's the hesitation by Raymond, checking the runner. Pitches to the plate now. Ball in tight a little bit for a 2-0 count. And the rain is picking up. I mean, coming down now, it's going to get our scorecards all wet. We're not going to be able to read them.
It'll be interesting to see how much longer the umpires let this go on because it's just been steadily picking up.
Yeah. There is a pitch taken for a ball, and it's 3-0 to Wood. They need some base runners. They have Gisletta down at second base. There are two outs here in the inning. And the 3-0 count, let's see if he has the green light as the pitch comes into him. Caught the outside corner for a called strike, and he was taking on the play. Down by four runs in this early, decided that they would be taking. On deck is Zach Hosen, J-O-S-O-N, Hosen. Ball is hit down toward the shortstop. Field it on a high out by Jessel over to first base in time, and Wood is retired. So one run or one hit in the inning, no runs, and we're at the end of one inning, and our score is Napa High 4 and Vintage 0.
No, I know.
Well, we're back here at Cleve Borman Field in Yountville, starting to get wet.
It is, and it's getting cold. It feels a little bit more like January than it does April.
We're going into the second inning of this big game. Trent Mayer to lead it off for Napa High with Omar Gonzalez and Colton Mayer to follow here in this top of the second. Napa leading it 4-0. Todd Friday's parents here, Ed Friday. I think, taught social science, didn't he, over there at Napa High?
Todd did. Ed was a Toyota sales rep.
Oh, that's right. That's what I meant. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Donna, his wife was a teacher for several years.
Yeah.
Elementary school. She ended up at West Park before she retired.
And, of course, Travis Rogers just recently retired after several years as the vocal director. And here's the Fitz Hinton side corner for a called strike. We're here in the top half of the second inning in the big game from Cleve Borman Field in Yountville, and Mayer hits the ball down to the shortstop, fielded nicely there by Hosen over to first, close play, but just got him by a half a step.
That took a bad bounce, too. It hit the grass and just stayed down. The fielder was good to stick with it.
Well, I'll tell you, they've been keeping Hosen busy there at shortstop.
There's been a lot of balls hit to the left side. I think just about everything half a hit's been to that side.
Yeah, he got all three of the putouts last inning. And here's Gonzalez backing away from one that's a little tied to him. Gonzalez is just a sophomore, plays second base defensively. The top of the order, Colton Mayer on deck, and the ball is hit and goes foul out of play. Evens the count at 1-1, one down here in the top of the second inning. Michael Crandall coaching down the third baseline instead of Todd Friday, with Dom Romero down the first baseline. There's a little ball that's just poked out to the second baseman, backs up on the edge of the outfield grass and makes a put out. Gonzalez getting just a little bit of metal to that. Yeah, they do play with some metal bats here. You can hear perhaps the crack of it.
It isn't a crack, it's a plank.
There you go. Here's Mayer up for the second time. And boy, that ball came inside. Looked like it almost hit him. He did a nice job of ducking away from that inside pitch.
He did. It was headed for the catcher's home. And the catcher did a nice job just getting love on it to deflect it.
First four batters got on base for Napa last inning with Mayer walking. Here's the pitch to him this time, and he takes it right down the middle. That was a good pitch from Eli Wood. Wood is the pitcher. Ronnie Porter is the catcher. And the next delivery, down just a little bit low. They could a two-ball, one count for the batter, Mayer. Plays left field defensively. Here's the pitch to him. And he bunts the ball. The pitcher comes in, fields it. There's his throw to first. He throws it wildly, and it goes way down the right field line. Mayer does not stop at first. He continues. He goes around second. He's going toward third. He'll go in standing up at third base as the ball comes back to the pitcher. Well, that'll have to go as an error. And that, what?
You're on the pitcher.
On the pitcher, yeah.
Throwing the ball.
So we are set now. The pitcher Wood delivers down low. So Mayer got all the way around to third base, but that's with two outs. Jason Friday, who had a base hit last time, up first time at the plate. His team ahead 4-0 here in the second. He hits the ball. Nice stroke out to center field. Center fielder moves over to his left, and he's there to make the put out. Friday made good contact, but flies out to the center fielder. So in the inning, no runs, no hits. There was an error, and there was a runner left on. We go into the home half of the second inning with Hosen to lead it off for the Vintage Crunchers. They trail 4-0. Well, as we move on into the bottom half of the second inning, the Crunchers trying to get something going here early on in the contest, trailing it 2-0. We'll have Hosen leading it off with Harrison Kohagura, a sophomore, the third baseman, batting second. Davide Magoto is the first baseman. He'll be up third in the inning. And if it goes beyond that, Porter and Brown will round out the starting nine for the Vintage Crushers. Here at Cleve Borman Field, the Crushers have six seniors, nine juniors, a couple sophomores, and one freshman on their 18-man roster. As the first pitch comes in to Hosen, he backs away from one inside for ball one. Zach Hosen in the designated hitter spot as the pitch is way up high and first one that really got away from Raymond on the bat.
He's been very consistent to this point, save for that pitch.
Looks in, gets the sign, takes his windup and his delivery. And that was in the strike zone for strike one. Two balls and a strike. Hosen leading off the bottom half of the second inning as the next delivery is in too tight and high. As a team, the Denny's Chargers are batting 265 on the season. The right-hander on the mound, Andrew Raymond, rocks into motion, kicks that leg, and the ball is nubbed foul over right in front of the Napa dugout. Todd Friday over there in front of the dugout with his arms folded instead of down the third baseline. It's been a familiar scene down there. Here's a pitch to Hosen, and then that was the breaking pitch that just missed. So leadoff batter for the Crushers gets on base by virtue of the walk. The first year that Rich Anderson was the head coach for Vinny's was in 1992. And we figured out it must be 26 years in for him there. 3 years as a JV coach, too. Here's the pitch to plate. Oh, the ball is hit down the left field line. It's going to be in there as it drop in for just a single. Is holding up at second base is Hosen, but that was good metal on that ball.
Best hit ball of the game so far. It looked like it was going to go a little bit further, but yeah. He hit it well, and the left fielder got over there very quickly just to hold it to a single and hold the runner to second.
Heavy atmosphere here and a bit of dampness in the air.
Very damp in the air, and there's no breeze whatsoever. The flag's standing absolutely still in center field.
Davide spells it D-A-V-I-D-E at the plate. Magoto as the first pitch to Davide. Caught the outside corner for strike one. He's only a freshman. You'll be hearing that name, Davide, a little more frequently probably in the future. He's a first baseman and a really good athlete. He watches the pitch break over for a strike. Davide is batting in the seventh slot in the batting order. He has two teammates on base with nobody out here in the second inning. Napa leading Vinny's 4-0. Vinny's trying to make a statement here in this bottom of the second inning. As swings and misses, one that may have been a little outside. Good pitch, though, from Raymond.
The catcher set up outside. He was actually off the plate, and Raymond put it right where the catcher set him up. Batter bit on it.
Yeah, Raymond has been impressive. Here's Ronnie Porter. Right-handed batter. Playing catcher today for the Benny's Crushers. He's a senior. And the breaking pitch broke down a little bit low that time. Nolan Brown on deck for the Crushers. They have two runners on base with one down here in the bottom half of the second inning. A bit of rain in the air. That pitch is taken for a strike. Good control pitch that time by Raymond.
He's, with the exception of the first two batters of the inning, been very consistent. He has very good movement on the ball going right to left, both fastball and curve.
Here's a pitch. The ball is hit towards the shortstop. Fields it. Is placed to first base. And he got it there in time, but the runner's advanced. Hosen goes down to third base. Kohagura goes down to second base. Porter is out, and already our score sheet, the ink is running all over there. So hopefully we'll be able to read what we have jotted down. Here is Nolan Brown coming up, the right fielder. The ball's outside. Nice stop there by Caden Cortese, the catcher, down on the knees to block that ball that hit in the dirt. With two runners on there, you have to be careful on that. It gets by him. Chance for the runner at third base to come home. Brown, a right-hander with the 1-0 delivery, and that caught the outside corner. The umpire will give the pitcher that corner.
He has been very consistent so far, and he's given him that corner, and Raymond's taking great advantage of it.
Ball is hit to the third baseman, feels it. Here comes the runner from third. He'll come in, and the out's going to take precedence, though, for the third out. So 5-3, Brown is retired. No runs in the inning, one hit and a walk in the inning, and a couple runners left on. The first two runners, or first two batters, got on base in that inning. And we're at the end of two now, and the score of the Napa High Indians, 4, the Vintage Crushers of Napa, 0. Well, we move into the third inning of the contest with Napa holding a 4-0 lead. Cortese, Jessel, and Herder are the scheduled batters. And Jacob Grant keeping dry over there.
Yeah, I had to put away all my scoring stuff because the ink was running and the paper was mapped up. So, but it's been a clean game so far for both sides. There's been a couple things that shouldn't have necessarily been considered an error. That were, but I wouldn't blame those on them. I blame that on the wet field and the cakey dirt out there. So, it seems like a clean defensive game for both sides.
Well, my ink is going to run over toward you, so you can pick it up. The score sheet just looks terrible. And with the rain hitting, it makes the paper so thin, you try to write something down on it, and it just that ruins the paper. The first pitch is taken for a strike to Caden Cortese here in the third inning. He had a base hit, scored a run back in the first inning for Napa as the delivery is down on in the dirt. Nice stop by Ronnie Porter behind the plate. Nobody on, however, as the leadoff batter, Caden Cortese. He's a senior catcher for the team. Good football player. He takes the strike. He's about 5'10", stands there on the batter's box as a right-handed hitter, and he faces the right-hand slants of Eli Wood on the mound, who looks in, gets a sign. Cortese takes the pitch, down low, 2 balls, 2 strikes, even the count. Nathan Jessel on deck, had that double, drove in a couple runs back in the first inning. Here's the pitch, that was outside. It took Eli Wood a little time to settle down.
It did, and Indians just prosecuted putting the ball where the fielders weren't. Some of them were very close to being caught and driven.
There's another hit down the left field line. That may go for two. Left fielder fifth is over, picks it up. Going into second base as the throw comes in. But going in, standing up, is Caden Cortese gets a double. The second extra base hit that Napa has had today, and that comes leading off the third inning. And will bring Nathan Jessel to the plate. He had the other double. In fact, Napa had the first four batters get on base, culminating with that double by Jessel, adding in the cleanup slot, and already has 2 RBIs. Nice stocky build, 6-foot senior. Plays shortstop defensively, just a real good athlete. He holds that bat high as the first pitch comes into it, and it strokes out to center field. Center fielder going over. He dives for it and makes the grab. What a great play. Out in center field, Jason Brandow makes the defensive play of the game.
I would have got any major leaguer proud and went full body to catch that ball, got to it. Cat still had the layout, caught it. Stumbled to the ground and held on. Beautiful catch.
Well, that ball was well stroked, too, by Jessel. But what a job in center field.
That was an impressive catch with the full extension to get that. And he made up a lot of ground to try to get there in time.
Well, Herder takes the first pitch from Wood outside for ball one. Brandon drove in a run, even though he grounded out last time. He is up there now with a 1-0 count. He made it second base. One down here in the top of the third. He watches the called strike one. Evens the count, 1 ball and 1 strike. Following our broadcast of baseball this afternoon, we had San Jose Sharks hockey on the air. The Sharks hosting Colorado tonight. It's taken down low. 2 balls and 1 strike. Brandon Herder, the right fielder, left-handed batter, steps out of the box for a moment. Now back in. The pitcher, Eli Wood, checks the runner off second. The ball is stroked slowly down toward the first baseman. The pitcher covers and gets there just in time. Eli Wood did a great job of getting off the mound to go over there to cover first base.
He did, and a nice throw by the first baseman that led him there as well. Very well executed by Vintage.
Yeah, you wonder, too, if the first baseman is going to make that play or if the second baseman is going to try to come over and make it. And it was the play for the first baseman and good coverage by Eli Wood. On the play, Cortez takes third base with two outs, and the pitch to Charles Gravett is ball one. Gravett had an RBI back in the first inning, even though he grounded out to the shortstop. Holds that bat high. And pitch taken for a strike. One ball, one strike, two down, 4-0. Napa in the lead. We're in the big game here at the Glebe Borman Field in Yountville. And the pitch is hit back to the pitcher. Gloves it. Nice play by Wood. He'll underhand it over to first base for the out. So while the previous play went 3-1, that play goes 1-3. And that ends the top half of the third inning. Going into the bottom of the third, it'll be the top of the lineup. Phipps, Gazzetta, and Brandow for the Crashers. They trail 4-0. You're in tune with KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the Internet at KVON.com. This is Ira C. Smith, along with Travis Rogers and Jacob Grant, here at Glebe Borman Field in Yountville for the big game that's moving into the bottom half of the third inning, with the top of the lineup coming for the Crushers, who trail 4-0. Max Phipps, who grounded out second to first time up to lead it off. Troy Gisletta moves on deck to be followed by Jason Brandow here in this third inning. The pitcher on the mound, Andrew Raymond, through the first two innings, giving up a couple singles. He's had two strikeouts and has walked one batter. And he'll be facing a left-hander, Max Phipps. Seems like Max has been around for a while. He's only a junior, but he's been on the varsity since a freshman. He was entered as a football player, but has played football, basketball, baseball. And he takes the pitch, but it was over for a called strike. Phipps, the left fielder, steps out of the box for a moment. Flexes that bat around and now gets back in there. As the delivery from Raymond is on the outside corner, called strike two. 0-2 the count. The pressure's trying to get something going here in the third inning. Still plenty of time to go in the game, and a wild pitch. So that's what they call the wait.
It certainly was. I'm not sure he wanted to waste it quite that far outside.
One ball, two strikes. Phipps gets set as the delivery is hit down to the second baseman. Gonzalez has it over to first baseman Gravett for the out, and Phipps is out 4-3 for the second time in the game.
There have been some really funny bounces over there between first and second base. That one came up really high on the fielder. He stuck with it. A couple of times it's laid low. It's not a true bounce going in, but that area of the field.
Well, you know, they do have some new sod along the first and third base lines and some other areas of the infield. Gisletta takes a strike on the first offering from Raymond here in the bottom half of the third inning. Troy Gisletta had the base hit back and forth. Oh, breaking pitch. It was a beauty.
That looked like it could have run down the wall. That was a great drop in on him. There's no way he could have caught that one.
The 0-2 delivery is swung out and missed. Strike three, Gisletta is a strikeout victim. Brandow, who was called out on strikes the last time, coming to the plate. Nobody on and two down here in the bottom half of the third inning. Right-hander on the mound, Raymond. Caden Cortez, his catcher. Charles Gravett over at first base. Omar Gonzalez, the second baseman. The pitch down a little low for ball one. Nathan Jessel is the shortstop. Trent Mayer is the third baseman. Colton Mayer is out in left field. Jason Friday, center field, and Brandon Herter is in right. Next pitch is taken by Brandow for a strike, evening the count. One ball, one strike to the Crusher center fielder. As the delivery to him, he tried to hold up. He went through the swing, and it'll make it one ball, two strikes to Brandow.
He's got a great curveball going. It's kind of like watching a mini Barry Zito with this kid. It's right to left. It's just a thing of beauty there.
again. That one fell a little bit out of the strike zone.
He likes to throw that breaking pitch, and it has been doing a lot of good for him so far. Two balls, two strikes, two outs, the next delivery. Oh, that one broke over nicely, too, for the second time. Brandau was called out on strike on Andrew Raymond's curveball. Wow. So we're at the end of three complete innings as Napa holds on to that 4-0 lead. And it'll be the bottom third of the lineup, Raymond, Mayer, and Gonzalez coming up for Napa High, leading it 4-0. Hey, we've had the wrong information on our shortstop. We had been mentioning that Zach Hosen was out there, whereas, in effect, Hosen has been the designated hitter, and it's Felix Ortiz that is there at shortstop. So want to stand corrected on that, as they did not have him playing in the field as far as Hosen. He was the, anyway, for the Vintage Crushers. The pitcher, Andrew Raymond, who grounded out or popped up to the shortstop in the first inning for the third out after Knapp had scored four runs, will lead it off here in the top half of the fourth inning. Trent Mayer, and then Omar Gonzalez to follow in this inning. Napa scored all of their runs in the first inning, getting their first four batters to score. Here's the pitch. The ball hit foul. That'll go out of play. Came around a little late on it. Raymond back out of the batter's box. Now he gets back in there. Not much of an open stance as the pitch is he tried to hold up. And apparently the umpire said that he did hold up because it's an even count now. It's a ball and a strike.
He did hold up. It was pretty clear that he had held up on that pitch. Low again. The advantage pitcher, when he misses, almost consistently misses low. The entire game so far.
Yeah. Other than that waste pitch.
Yeah.
Here's the next one. The ball is fouled at home plate. Quickly, Ronnie Porter was there to bounce on the ball in case it was ruled fair. Well, for a moment there, if the rain was picking up a bit, it has dissipated a little bit. It's still drizzling in the air as the pitch stayed up a little high. Makes the count go full now, three balls and two strikes. As Napa here at the top of the fourth inning, their leadoff batter takes ball four and gets on base. That's the third out of the four innings that Napa's had their leadoff batter get on base. In the first inning, Mayer walked to start the game. And in the second inning, they did not get the runner on until the error occurred and with two down. And then in the third inning, Cortese started the inning with a double, got around as far as third base, but did not score thanks to a great play by Jason Brandau in center field. The ball is hit down to the shortstop. Ortiz fields it over to second for one, over to first. Double play as the Crushers turn the DP, the 0-6-4-3.
Very cleanly executed by Vintage. Very well done. If you notice, nearly every batter, doesn't matter whether it's a Napa right-hander or left-hander, the Vintage center fielder is almost always playing 20, 30 feet to right field.
Yeah, to his left out there, right? Even for the right-handed batters, here the pitch is over for a strike to Omar Gonzalez. Well, Mayer, who just hit the double play with the sophomore, and so is Gonzalez. They have four sophomores on the roster. They're swinging a miss. Makes the count, no ball and two strikes. They have nine seniors, four juniors, four sophomores, and one freshman on their 18-man roster. And the pitch is hit down the first baseline, up in the air, popped up at the first baseman, over in foul territory, and he'll make the put out there as Davide gets the put out, and no runs, no hits, no errors. There was a walk. It was erased by the double play. And we move into the bottom half of the fourth inning. Wood, Hosen, and Kohagura coming up for Vintage, still trailing 4-0.
Well, as we go in here to the home half of the fourth inning, it'll be the cleanup batter, Eli Wood, the opposing pitcher, that leads it off for the Vintage Chrysers with Zach Holson and Harrison Kohagura scheduled up next. Chrysers had a hit in each of the first two innings, did not get a runner to the base in that third inning, a 1-2-3 inning for Andrew Raymond. And it's been a nice settling down approach to the game by Eli Wood after that top half of the first inning. That's where he had his trouble.
Yes, Matthew was able to jump on him. And there were a couple of pretty well-hit balls, but they were basically well-placed hits. A couple of infield knocks that they weren't able to throw out the runner at first base.
Well, Wood put some metal to that. That left fielder going back, getting under it. And he makes the put out. Colton Mayer out in left field. Eli Wood made good contact, but flies out to Colton Mayer in left field. He's a left fielder. Jason Friday is the center fielder, and Brandon Herder is the right fielder. Brandon, of course, played a lot of football this last year for Napa High. The pitch is taken for a strike. Well, you know that Hosen was going to be taking there. He just stood there and watched the pitch that came right down the heart of the plate. Here's Raymond rocking into motion, delivering the breaking pitch. Didn't break much that time.
No, it was thrown a little quicker than the ones that have been really successful for him.
Looks in, has the sign, rocks in motion, kicks that left leg and delivers, and it's on the outside corner for a called strike two. One ball and two strikes to the batter, Hosen, a junior, and he takes the pitch ball down low. First baseman is Gravett. Gonzalez, the second baseman. Jessel, the shortstop. Mayer, the third baseman. The delivery, the ball is hit towards center field. Center fielder going over to his left, still going, getting under and making the put out. A good job by Jason Friday out there. Boy, the Fridays are really good at baseball.
Well, they take after their dad pretty well, I think.
Now, Jack is redshirting this year over at Sonoma State. He had played at Solano College. And at Sonoma State, they're redshirting at the idea of playing both corners on first and third base. Pitch taken for a strike to Kohagura. That was right down. That was just fastball that he just very seldom has been using here in this game. The next pitch, there's a breaking pitch. Boy, that broke over.
Oh, man, it's just another curveball off the curveball. I mean, they're all beautiful, except for the ones he tries to blow in there. That's when he loses control of it.
Here's the pitch. Broke a little too quick there, went down low, and catcher Caden Cortez did a nice job again behind the plate, although there's no base runners. There are two down here in the fourth inning. As the breaking pitch is cut out and missed, strike three. Boy, I tell you, it is just a pleasure to sit behind home plate and watch that pitch break.
It really is, and it's just breaking beautifully. And on a couple of occasions, including that last pitch, looks like it's literally falling off the table.
Well, we're going into the fifth inning, scheduled seven-inning contest. It'll be the top of the lineup. Mayer, Friday, and Cortez coming up for Napa High, leading Vintage 4-0. Well, as we come into the bottom half of the fifth inning, check that. I'm going in the top half of the fifth inning. Where did I get that? I was just working my papers around here. They were getting soaked. I was trying to wring them out, getting back in order here. As we had mentioned, the top of the batting order for the Napa Indians play their home games at Bob Mount Field there at Napa High School. The Vintage Chrysers like to play here at Cleve Borman Field in Yountville. Played some of the earlier games, though, when the work was being done, the renovation happening here at Cleve Borman Field out of their varsity diamond there at Vintage High. They're happy to get over here. Such a beautiful place to play baseball. That's a great backdrop, too, as the pitcher on the mound, Eli Wood, is set to go here in his fifth inning of work, and the ball is hit down the third base lineup. Up there as Mayer will round first and will hold there. He has been on base all
three times that he's been up, albeit by an error the last time. He has scored a run after he walked to start out the ball game. Eli Wood allowed the first four runners to get on, and those four all scored, and that's been the extent of the scoring thus far, and we're in the top half of the fifth inning with Jason Friday, a left-hander, moving into the plate, digging in there with his spikes. There's a token throw over to first base. Colton Mayer not taking much of a lead. John Friday, the coach, is in the dugout this time. Well, he gets outside the dugout a little bit there. He's been coaching since 2001, the Napa Varsity. Here's the hesitation. Now the delivery. The ball is popped up, an attempted bunt, and it will go right above us now. And again, we can really appreciate this net padding behind home plate. It's new netting replacing the old cyclone fence that used to be right in front of us. Gives us a really good view of the pitcher. That pitch taken by Friday up high.
It certainly does. Again, the last hit by Mayer, the third hit down the left field line for the Indians. The first two were doubles. This one was a single. It wasn't quite so hard. Left fielder was able to get to it quicker, but that's a map real well to perhaps score again here.
And Friday takes the pitch. He's got a good eye up there. It makes it two balls and that one strike to him. Cortese on deck has had two for two. Scored a run. Got around his third base on his last time up. While it is raining, it's not raining hard enough to stop the game. It is raining hard enough to stop us from keeping good score sheet. The pitch is taken up high. Three balls and a strike to the senior center fielder. I ask Coach Friday where his son might go next year. He hasn't decided yet, but wherever it is, he's going to go and hope to play baseball.
That would make a lot of sense. Both boys very talented.
There goes the runner. The pitch is taken low. There's a throw down to second. Not in time. Going in, standing up is Colton Mayer. And that was, like, well, let's check it. That was ball four. Anyway, that was on a 3-1 count. So there. Still was the throw down to second, but Mayer didn't have to slide or anything because he was allowed second base after Pridey's walk. Well, starting out like it did in the first inning when the first four batters got on base. The first two are on base here in the fifth, and Colton Cortese, two for two today, right-handed batter as the pitch swung at him. While Raymond's best pitches seem to be his curveball. Wood's best pitch seems to be the fastball.
Yeah, and it's a double-edged sword for him because when he's throwing it well, it's fire. But when he's not, he's been missing all over the place. So the counts are getting high up there.
Wow, foul ball right in front of us.
Yes, it was. The part stopped it.
Yeah.
His fastball also sinks real well when he's throwing it. Well, the first strike on Cortese was probably his best pitch of the game so far.
No balls, two strikes. Nobody out, two runners on. Napa leading at 4-0 here in the top of the fifth. Swing of the ball hit off the top of the bat. Just a little number that goes off to the right side where the on-deck batter Nathan Jessel retrieves it. Underhands it back to the catcher, Ronnie Porter. So the count is snowballs, two strikes, nobody out. Runners take short leads from their respective bases as the right-hander on the mound delivers. The ball is hit out into right center field for a base hit. Right fielder coming over. He cuts it off. Being waved home is Mayer. He'll cross the plate. Going into third base. Standing up is Jason Friday as Cortese gets his third straight hit and drives in another run and sends Friday over to third base with nobody out.
Okay. Safe for a Jessel line out on that spectacular catch in center field. That's the hardest hit ball Napa has had so far today.
Yeah. Well, the right-handed batter Jessel getting ready to come up to the plate. He had that booming double in the first inning, driving in a pair of runs in. And lined out to that center field in that great play that Randall made out
there back in that third inning. So nobody out yet, and the ball is popped up. The second baseman going back, the center fielder coming in. The second baseman makes the grab. The runner is tagged up at third. He'll come in to score, and an RBI on the pop-up to the second baseman.
The Nassau hitter is staying on first base. It looked like he caught it, but I don't think he did. It's a single.
I thought he caught it. There was a token over to third base that said that he left too soon. No, he caught the ball.
He did catch the ball.
Yeah,
he was in the first. You're right. Nice catch on holding on to the ball because he ended up doing a full tumble after catching it.
Yeah, and, of course, very wisely, Jason Friday tagged up at third base and Gisletta, by the time he was able to get back up, didn't have much of a play there at home plate. So here's Herter coming up. And there goes the runner. There's a throw down to second, and the ball hits the runner, and so he's going to be safe there. Of course. Cortese, safe on the stolen base at second. One out in the inning. Two runs are in, 6-0 now, as both Mayer and Friday have scored in the inning. Look down at our score sheet, everything's running together. It pitches foul to the backstop, kaboom. Looking down at the Vinny's dugout, two are left down the third baseline. There are players that are not out in the field, have the hoodies on and standing there, look like they're shivering there as they're just outside the dugout. They're watching the action. One ball, one strike, one out to Herter, and he hits the ball to left field. That's going to be in there. Jago for two. Rounding third base is Cortese. He's being waved on. Rounding first, heading for second, diving in, and safe at second is Herter as he gets double and drives in a run. That's the third run in this inning, the seventh run in the game.
Very well hit. Went opposite field. The left fielder had to go towards the receiver. Nice getting over quickly, but had to go way too far to be able to hold it to the
front. Oh, looks like a visit by Mark Lundin.
They've got a man. They've got a guy warming up in the bullpen. Look to me from this far away. It looks like Merrick Cadrone is warming up out there.
All right, well, we may be seeing him in a moment. That's Mark Lundin is out there talking to Eli Wood. Well, Wood did okay in the second, third, and fourth innings. At the top of the first inning and the top of the fifth inning, that given him the problems with those first four batters. The first three have really come through. I mean, they're going to leave him in, so Eli Wood will be staying on the mound. Walking back slowly to the dugout, Mark Lundin.
He's never been really consistent, though. He hasn't gotten into the groove like Andrew Raymond has on the Napa side.
Well, Travis Rogers, how has retirement been so far?
Very, very enjoyable. Love it.
Right-hander facing right-hander now as Gravitt's at the plate, and he watches the pitch over for a called strike one. Charles Gravitt grounded out to the shortstop, got an RBI in the first inning, walked back in the, or check it, then grounded back to the pitcher the last time up, takes a breaking pitch for a strike. So Gravitt is 0-for-2, but has an RBI. He's up there now with a teammate down at second base and Brandon Herter. The pitch to the plate nearly in the dirt, but nice job holding on the ball by Ronnie Porter. We mentioned earlier, Napa High with nine seniors on their squad. Vintage has six seniors. Here's the pitch. The ball is hit foul. Goes out of play. Vintage has nine juniors. And Napa only has four juniors. Napa has four sophomores. Vintage has a couple. And they each have a freshman on the varsity. One ball and two strikes to Gravitt. 7-0 now. Napa in the lead here. In the ball is hit out to the left field. Oh, a good stop by Ortiz. Ortiz keeps the ball in the infield. Good. Rabbit gets the infield single as Ortiz kept the run from scoring there as Herder had gotten over to third base, and had Ortiz not stopped that ball, he would have scored. And Gravett gets a base hit but did not get an RBI. And now Rich Anderson is coming out, the head coach, so that probably means that's going to be Eli Wood's last. He's just coming off the mound and coming in. As far as the new pitcher is Merrick Condren, is Jacob alluded to. He was been warming up there.
How many mound visits do you think they have left on your score sheet?
Well, let's see, four this inning.
Yeah, I'm glad they haven't brought that down to this level yet. That's for sure.
Well, I think Major League has six visits allowed.
Yeah, six visits allowed, and it sounds like the A's so far this season haven't run out of them. They've just they've stopped it at too short every game.
And it doesn't make any difference as far as the length of the game or anything. I don't think.
Well, and it's funny to watch on TV the graphic when they go out. You know, they have it like timeouts in the basketball game, and I don't even imagine. Never seen that before.
Well, what do you enjoy most about going to all these baseball stadiums you've gone to around the country?
Well, I don't hunt or fish. We started doing this when my son was 8 years old, and it's just a great way to see the country because most of the time you're in the Midwest or Eastern in the summer, it's hot and humid, they're night games. So you're seeing stuff in the cities, you're taking day trips out to see a bunch of historic things. It's been a wonderful way to see our country and the different places of historical interest, plus the fact that he loved baseball ever since he was born. I did ever since I was a little kid. It's just a father-son thing that we enjoyed doing together as he grew up into adulthood.
And is he still around Napa?
Just moved to Brooklyn, New York, 3 weeks ago. He's working in a restaurant, and I'm going out to see him Memorial Day weekend. The week after, we're going to catch some Yankee games.
Well, the Oakland A's lost today to the Texas Rangers 6-3 was the final in that. And coming up later on KVON will be Colorado at San Jose against the Sharks in hockey action. All right, here is Raymond at the plate, cutting and missing. There's the throw down to second base, and a good stop there. The runner at third held as Herder did not attempt to go as Gravett steals second base. So we got two runners on and only one out here, and three runs in the inning, seven in the game. Here's the hesitation, the pitch, the ball is hit out in the left field of base hit. Here comes Herder. He scores. Going into third base, Gravett. He will hold there. And the fourth run in the inning, the second four-run inning so far for Napa.
Very well hit ball right in between the shortstop and the third baseman. Just made very, very solid contact. Napa's hitting great. Ten hits already, and of every type and description. They like left field today, Ira.
So Andrew Raymond, he's had a walk and a single, and he popped up to the shortstop.
And it looks like he's putting his hoodie on first base.
Yeah.
Looks like he's a little cold out there.
Yeah, it is chilly out there. That's it. And particularly, notice it more because it's also wet.
Yeah, it is. It feels like a wet January right now.
You know, the table right beside us where Marty James and Napa Valley Register was, and that's just solid water on top of that.
Marty took his seat undercover.
Yeah, I don't blame it. We move our table back underneath the overhang a bit, but we're so soaked now that it doesn't matter. Anyway, they got a baseball game here, and a right-handed batter, Mayer, and their throw to first base, diving back in safely, was Andrew Raymond. Gravett is over at third base, now taking a short lead there. Raymond takes a short lead from first, and the new pitcher gets set, and the ball is hit down the first baseman, drops it, picks it up, and tags the runner as Gravett comes in to score the fifth run of the inning. Mayer grounds out but gets an RBI. And the ninth batter in the inning comes up to the plate for Napa. Omar Gonzalez, who plays second base, popped up to the second baseman, then popped up to the first baseman in his two previous at-bats. And the pitch is hit down towards the shortstop, fields it on the high hop. There's his throw to first in time, and Gonzalez is retired as Felix Ortiz makes the play from a shortstop. But in the inning, five runs scored. There were five hits in the inning, and there was also a walk couple in there and a runner left on. We go into the bottom half of the fifth inning, and it's the bottom third of the batting order coming up for the Vintage Crushers as Napa now leads 9-0. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. Along with Travis Rogers and Jake Grant, this is Ira C. Smith here at Clay Borman Field in Yountville. We're at the Veterans Home, and what a beautiful diamond it is. Even in the rain, it's a pretty deal.
And you folks should be glad you're listening at home. You can do a fire, get some hot soup. Over out here in the cold and wet, describing it for you.
Well, we should mention that we are right on the edge where we're just getting the rain coming in. Most of the people are back in the stands that are covered, so they are staying dry.
And we can't complain. I think we're closer to the catcher than the pitcher is.
we're right up there on top of it. It's been great to watch those curveballs that have been coming in from Andrew Raymond.
I wonder if the water on the ball is helping it a little bit.
You know, there you go. Yeah, particularly for the curveball there.
Yeah, it'd be happening.
Well, we'll see what the Crushers can do now. Davide Magoto up to lead off the home half of the fifth inning, down 9-0. Takes the pitch over for called strike one. Ronnie Porter on deck with Nolan Brown to follow here in the fifth inning. The delivery just missed outside for ball one. Evens the count 1-1 to the leadoff batter in the top of the bottom half of the fifth inning. The pitch is hit to the first baseman on the line, and Gravett grabs it. And Davide lines out there to the first baseman for the first out here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Ronnie Porter grounded out shortstop to first baseman, his first time up, with Nolan Brown moving on deck. Porter, the catcher, holds that bat high as the pitcher Raymond rocks into motion and delivers but the outside corner for a called strike. We'd set our equipment up and had hoped to broadcast over the airways, which we had done previously from Clay Borman Field. The next pitch curve broke, but just missed, but not by much. And with the fires that happened last October, burned our relay station that we had in Yountville, so we were unable to set up that the ball hit foul out of play. Set up the direct broadcast where we can use interviews and other things, and so we have to go over our phone setup for our broadcast today. So sorry that we did not have the full complement of our equipment. There's a swing and a miss for strike three. Let's see. There was a strikeout in the first inning, a strikeout in the second, two strikeouts in the third, one in the fourth, and one in the fifth. So Andrew Raymond has struck out at least one in each inning.
Very, very impressive. And when they hit the ball, it hasn't been very sharp at all. He's kept them off balance all day.
Nolan Brown watches the first pitch. Came in with a fast one, but just missed.
Yeah, he's got this interesting style where his fastball comes in right where his curveball breaks. So they think they're getting the curveball, but really they're getting it right up the middle fastball.
Ball is hit slowly to the shortstop. He muffs the ball. He's not going to be able to grab it, and it's going to be safe on an error by Nathan Jessel there at short. just couldn't grab the handle on the ball. Battling that ball. Could have been slippery out there, too, particularly when it hit the skin part of the infield.
I think so. You got a very slick line right now. It's been pretty constant sprinkles the entire game. He tried to get it two or three times. It just wasn't coming up for him.
Max Phipps is up. He's 0 for 2. Grounded out second to first, both of his previous experiences. He watches the curveball break right over for a called strike. The left-hander was taking on the pitch, and Raymond threw it right over there. 9-0. Andrew Raymond's got a shutout going so far. We're here in the bottom of the fifth inning with two down and one on for the Crushers. And the umpire takes a timeout as Phipps wants to back away from the plate. Now he's ready to get back in the batter's box. Pitcher on the mound, Raymond, checks. Looks at the runner over at first, now delivers to the plate. There's a quick throw down to first base. It goes out into right field. Brown on his way to second. He may salvage, slip out there, and the relay comes in now.
My fast right fielder, too, he's able to recover quickly before the runner realized that he had left it as well.
Well, I was wondering, too, if Brown might even try for third, even if that slip had not occurred out there.
He just wasn't aware. He was concentrating on getting his second for sure. He certainly could have tried it because he had several extra seconds to get there.
Well, he's in position now to score on a hit if the Crushers can avert that shutout. Last inning, the top half of this inning, Napa came back with five runs after they had a four-run first inning. The ball is hit down to the second baseman, and it bounces off his leg, picks it up, throws over to first. In time, it just gets Pip, who is a fast runner, but the second baseman stayed with it. And all three at-bats for Phipps, he has grounded out second to first.
Yes, and that was the closest play of all with the muff, and he did get down that line very quickly. The ball thrown was also very low, so kudos to Rivott for digging that thing out, too.
All right, that is the end of five innings. Coming up in the top half of the sixth inning for Napa High will be the top of their lineup. Mayer, Friday, and Cortese will be coming up for the Napa Indians, who lead Vintage now 9-0. Well, in spite of the rain, this game has been moving right along. Moving into the top half of the sixth inning, and it's the top of the lineup, Colton Mayer to lead it off, Jason Friday and Caden Cortese to follow, and that is the lineup that's been doing the damage.
They certainly have, and one thing that's been helping this game move along, the pitchers, I think there's only been one or two walks, and they both worked very quickly.
Yep. Well, actually, Napa has had three walks so far in the game, and let's see, as far as, but, you know, the control that Raymond has had. Let's, I kept a peel off some of this to see. He hasn't walked anybody in the contest. The pitch taken in tight.
I think one batter is passing and called the timeout, and that's been it. That has been in there ready to hit, too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, just that last half inning, Phipps fell timeout. Ball caroms away from catcher Ronnie Porter. But the count goes to 3-0 on leadoff batter Mayer. He has been up three times. He's been on all three times. He's scored twice, got to third base the other time. He's walked, had a hit, safe on an error. And he's up there now taking the pitch, and it's over the outside corner. He was ready to start down to first base, and now he's back there now with a 3-1 count. Here is the pitch. And that he was ready to go down again. That one was called the inside corner. So twice, Mayer has started down to first.
The umpire's been very consistent, though.
Yeah.
Those both really did hit the corner, and he's been very consistent.
Ball hit foul off to the left little number there. Yeah, the umpire coming in from Sacramento. He's glad they're getting this game underway, too, after making that long drive.
He gets to getting that long drive going back home, too, this time of day.
Oh, boy. I know that feeling. Here is the delivery, and the ball is hit out of the right field. Another hit for Mayer. It caroms away from Brown, but he can retrieve it quickly. They have not gotten Mayer out today. And So he is at first base with nobody out. Now, Napa has 9 runs. They do have the 10-run rule, but Vintage, if Napa should score another run, Vintage would still have their at-bat.
Well, and they should, you know, maybe if they have a chance to at least score one or two, it'd be nice if they could. No, nobody likes to see a game get this out of hand.
Friday, left-handed batter, has scored twice, has a hit, a walk, and flied out to the left fielder, or the center fielder, check that. He takes a strike. Yeah, as you say, the umpiring has been very consistent. No complaints at all. He's done a really nice job behind the plate. Now the pressures, and there gets a breaking pitch over for a strike for Vintage. Merrick Codron, a senior, right-handed pitcher, in relief of Eli Wood. Codron's delivery. Ball is hit back to the pitcher, and he fires it to first in time on the play. Mayer moves down to second base. Now that ball hits right in front of home plate and went high in the air, and the pitcher had to wait until it came down, but still made a good throw to first to retire Pridey. Cortez, who is 3-for-3, scored 2 runs and wound up on third the other time. What a game he has had. Here's the pitch to Cortez, and he's going to hit it to right field. Right fielder is there, makes the grab, and going back to second base is Mayer. So they finally get Cortez out as he flies out to Nolan Brown in right field. Boy, I tell you, some good fielding today, particularly that play by Brandow back in the third inning.
That sure was. Nathan Jessel's coming up again. And I'm sure Nathan would have left you back a double on that hit because that's what it sure looked like till the finished player caught it.
Yeah. That was with a runner at second base, too, and he caught that ball. Jessel had a double and scored in the first inning, lined out to the center fielder on that great catch back in the third inning, and popped up to the second baseman, even though he got an RBI. The second baseman dropped it, falling down as he made the catch, got up, and could not throw out the runners coming into home plate, scoring. Here's the pitch on the inside corner for a strike. No balls and one strike. 9-0, Napa in the lead. There are 2 outs here in the top half of the sixth inning. Napa in the lead. They're at the plate. Vintage in the field. Vintage trying to get out of this inning and get something going here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Breaking pitch, hit down to the shortstop, can't field it. It comes off of him, rounding third. Here comes Marr, Mayer, and he is safe. And as he comes in to score, going down to second base is Jessel, who gets a hit and an RBI, and Mayer has scored his 3rd run in the game.
Colton runs very, very quickly and never, ever stops. And that ball, again, took a bad bounce.
No.
It went right over the shortstop, almost over his head. He was able to deflect it, but it didn't come out the way that he would have expected it to.
Ortiz having to battle that there. I know the conditions are such now with the water on the dirt and all creating some problems there when the ball hits it. And on the grass, too, on the infield grass, which looks to be kind of high anyway.
Yeah, and it looks like they gave him a hit, which they should have. That really wasn't the shortstop's fault.
Here's Herter at the plate, takes outside for a ball. Jessel on that play at home plate, he went on down to second base on the throw, credited with a single. Herter had a double, grounded first baseman to the pitcher, and grounded out shortstop to first. Got hit the ball down to third baseman. Fields it and goes over and tags the runner rather than throwing. Got Jessel, who was coming down the line from second base, and he just tags him out. So Herter on the fielder's choice is the final batter in the top half of the sixth inning. But Vintage needs to score at least 1 run in the bottom half of the sixth or the game is over. And it'll be Gisletta, Brandow, and Wood coming up for Vintage. Napa leads it 10-0. Well, we're moving right along. That's the, you know, even though 10 runs have scored in this game, there have been 14 hits, but the game itself has really progressed nicely.
It's only an hour and 20 minutes long. We started 5 minutes early at 3:55, hopefully to beat the rain a bit. It's been steady, but not so hard that we've had a delay yet.
Well, it'll be necessary for the Chrysler's to score at least one run here in this bottom of the sixth inning, or the game is over. Troy Gisletta, who will lead it off, is 1-for-2, had a base hit, stole second base back in the first inning, went down swinging in the third inning. He's 1-for-2. Jason Brandow moves on deck. Brandow makes the best defensive play of the game. The ball is hit foul off the top of the bat, over the barrel part, goes over by the Napa dugout. Right outside of that is Todd Pridey, his arms folded, hoping that his team can get the Chrysler's out without them scoring. The ball is hit foul, just barely foul, by inches down that third baseline.
He would have gotten a double on that. And literally, from there, it almost looked like it went
over
the bag.
It looked fair to me.
Yeah.
It looked fair to me, but obviously you can't recall that.
No. No, I thought the umpire was right on. He got out there, he sighted down there and made this call right away. Here's the 0-2 delivery, up too high. Well, what has worked effectively for Andrew Raymond today has been his breaking curveball, particularly to the right-handed batter. And here's the delivery, and there's the slow curve.
Just off the plate that time. He didn't get the outside corner call. But, yeah, no question that has been the difference in his bread and butter this game is that beautiful curveball.
And there's a curve, and the ball hit foul to go out of play, although the catcher, Caden Cortez, gave pursuit. So it's been a great senior year for the Napa catcher, Caden Cortez. Played football, played quarterback here. He's just had an outstanding senior year, and it's still going. Still a lot of baseball ahead. Here the pitch is hit foul, out of play again by Gisletta. Troy is just a junior. 9 juniors for the Chrysler, so Rich Anderson's going to be getting quite a few players back. He's sent a lot of players on to play Division I baseball. Look at the Cal roster. You'll find not only the players, but the coach also from Vintage.
He has a lot to be proud of, and not only turning out great baseball players, but great people.
Ball's hit to deep center field. Center fielder going back. He is under it, and Friday makes the put out. That is out number one as Friday. He is such a good fielder.
Went back, made it look effortless. That was as deep a ball as has been hit today.
Yeah. Well, that was toward the 367-foot mark here at the Cleve Borman Field, the deepest part of the park, about 323 down the right field line and 338 down the left field line. Batter now is Brandow. Jason up twice, called out on strikes, takes the first pitch for ball one. Here's Raymond rocking into motion. The next pitch is inside, ball two. The Chrysler's trying to get some base runners here. They need to produce a run or that's the end of the game. There the pitch is over for a strike. That was a pretty pitch, too, although not his good breaking pitch.
No, it's a nice little changeup. Had the hitter hold. Came in nice and slow, but pretty straight that time.
Yeah. On deck for Vintage is Merrick Codron. He'd like to get up to the plate for the first time in the game. Brandow, center fielder for the Chrysler's. Right-handed batters back at the plate now as Raymond's delivery is up high. So the batter gets ahead now, 3-1 in the count.
Well, I don't know that he's had any three-ball counts today, has he?
If he has, it hasn't been very many. We'll check with our statistician over here. Ball is hit down to the third baseman. Fields it on a high hop. Mayer's throw over to first in time. A good play by Trent Mayer over to Charles Gravett for the second out. And that's going to be the last opportunity for the Vintage Chrysler's now. And, well, it's going to be Eli Wood coming to bat, not Merrick Codron. So Eli Wood is up there. He was the starting pitcher in the game. He's 0-for-2. They pitch up high for a ball. Raymond trying to record a shutout and leading it now here in the sixth inning.
New hitter.
Yeah. It's the pitch for ball two. He has not walked anybody, but he was behind on the last batter, and he's behind on this batter. Two balls, no strikes. He's got to be tiring somewhat. Throws that outside, and it's 3-0 now. He hasn't been behind that far on a batter.
No. We haven't kept a pitch count, have we?
No.
With all the strikeouts, it's got to be what? 80-90.
If we did, we couldn't read it anyway.
Yeah.
It'd be so wet. Here is the next pitch. Up high. Well, he walked him on four pitches, so Wood gets a free pass, and he represents the runner. If he scores, we'll send the game into the seventh inning. And new supply of baseballs coming out to the umpire. They're going to have a pinch runner. And going over to run is Sebastian Dennis, a junior. So Dennis will be running in place of Eli Wood. And Gravett's going to try to hold him close to the bag there at first base. Gravett is a right-handed first baseman, so he has that glove there down toward the home plate area. Ball is hit to the shortstop, and that's it. As Hosis lines out to the shortstop, Jessel, and that will be the third and final out, and it will be a 10-0 shutout for the Napa Indians. And what a job by Andrew Riggins.
It sure was. A two-hitter. He had six or seven strikeouts. He had a curveball. It was just a thing of beauty today.
Well, the Chrysers there with two hits committed a couple of errors in the game. And four, let's see if my score sheet's just soaking wet. Just touch it and it falls apart. But the Napa Indians came up with 10 runs on 12 hits, and they committed one error as well. We'll be back with a quick wrap-up in the ball game in a moment as Napa wins the first of three big games. Final score was 10-0. Well, we're back here at Cleve Borman Field, Yountville, at the Veterans Home. I'm Ira C. Smith, and he's Travis Rogers.
And what do you want me to say, Ira?
You saw the same game I did.
This game was definitely baseball's a team game, and we had several spectacular performances, but one stood head and shoulders above the rest. Andrew Raymond just pitched a fantastic game today. Fantastic curveball, two-hit shutout, seven innings, very consistent pitching. He walked one guy in the last inning, and that was it, just a great performance.
Didn't hit a batter either, and when you're working the corners like he was, that was important that you do not hit the batsman.
He hit such a groove. The batters were in there to hit from both teams. Can you believe a game that had, what, 16 hits altogether?
Well, 12 hits for Napa and two for Vintage.
14 altogether. It lasted an hour and 27 minutes. This thing went fast.
Uh-huh.
I think the folks want to get out of the cold and wet into the warm.
Okay. Well, I gather then that you might pick Raymond for the player of the game.
This is the biggest no-brainer of all time. I do have you know how they do it in hockey with second and third? I have a second and third, too, if you're interested.
Well, yeah, we'll come back to that. Third, I'm going to let Jacob get his pick in.
You're stealing my bit. I usually do the hockey stuff. but I got to do Andrew Raymond. I mean, that curveball could have been the MVP on its own, and he was the one doing it, so I got to give the credit to him.
Wonder who works with the pitchers at the Napa High now, because whoever does has done a really good job with him working on that curve.
I don't know who does, but we need to find out. Maybe Todd does himself, but that was such a consistent performance today.
Well, he has Michael Crandall working with him, who was down third base coach today, and Dom Romero, who was down the first baseline. Those are a couple of his assistant coaches. But anyway, what a nice performance by Napa High in this game. So, Jacob, do you have any other comments as far as from your vantage point?
I wish he went longer so I could watch him pitch more. It was fun. It's a shame it had to be called a 10, but I don't know. It gets us out of the cold, I guess, quicker.
Gets us out of the rain. We'll just ring out our papers from this. This is the first of three games that these two teams will play, and we'll be broadcasting the other two games as well. The next game, though, does not come up until May the 8th. You can imagine that that will be over at Napa High at the Bob Mount Field on May the 8th, and that's a Tuesday. And then they play the next day on a Wednesday, May the 9th, back here at Borman Field. We'll be here to broadcast that. So these same two teams meet two more times. And this next week, Vintage is playing against Wood three games next week. And the following week, they've got Armio for three games. So that's the way it's just matching up now with the postponements that they've had because of rain.
Yeah, and we'll probably get a little more sunshine on the next two. And you know, the beauty of baseball, again, is Napa won 10-0 today. And we could be coming back here on May 8th, and it could go the other way entirely.
Oh,
I mean, that's the thing about this sport. You never know what's going to happen any particular day. And in this particular day, you had one young man who just dominated this game so beautifully.
Yep, that was an outstanding job. And I'd like to thank you guys for bearing with us out here in the rain, getting a little damp and all, and all our papers getting soaked. But we're able to stay with it. Just taking a quick look for Napa High, Colton Mayer had two hits, had a walk, scored three runs, and the other time was safe on an error. Jason Friday had a hit, had a walk, scored two runs. Caden Cortese had three hits and scored two runs and flied out his last at-bat. Nathan Jessel had two hits, scored a run. Line one to center field where Jason Brandow just made the catch of the season, an outstanding catch in the center field. Jessel was two for four. Brandon Herter had a hit. He got a couple RBIs in the game, scored a run. Charles Gravett had an RBI and had a hit. Andrew Raymond, the winning pitcher, had a hit and a walk and popped up to the shortstop, Ortiz. And Trent Mayer, Clayton's younger brother, a sophomore, did not get a hit but did have an RBI. That's pretty much the hitting for victorious Napa High. Vintage's two hits. Troy Gisletta had one. That was in the first inning, the second batter. And Harrison Kohagura had one, the second batter, in the second inning. And that was it. Nobody else got on base until two outs in the sixth inning when Eli Wood walked.
Yeah, Brandow, that catch in center field was the highlight for Vintage, and it was quite a highlight. I think we could very easily go the rest of the season, and that will be the catch that we look back on.
Okay, so your second and third picks.
Colton Mayer for Napa, second for sure, because he got on base every single time he's up, and so many times, not only did he lead off the game, he was leading off the inning.
Yeah.
So he just really set the table. So many times.
Right. Three different innings he was the leadoff batter.
Yeah, had a good eye on the first one with a walk, scored the first run, and he did a great job. And then Brandow on the catch. He took away a double for Nathan Jessel on one of the hardest balls of the game.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Right.
I'm going to have to agree with Mr. Rogers here on his pick. It was a fun game to watch, and it was great to see Friday's team out here as a Napa High graduate who had Friday for history a couple times. It was a lot of fun to see him out there in his element.
And a free student. All right, well, that wraps it up from a wet Cleve Borman Field in Yountville at the Veterans Home. Nice to have you aboard with us and inviting you to come out and see your favorite team, give some support and see the action. A week from tomorrow, we're going to be broadcasting Justin Tana baseball. It'll be Marin Catholic coming. It's going to be a tough one for the Braves. But, again, they can win any time that they go out there, too. They get the right ingredients and get the right pitching in the contest. Charles Kennedy has been our engineer. It's all been sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. I'm Ira C. Smith, reminding you the final today in the big game in baseball. It was the Napa High Indians 10 and the Vintage Crushers of Napa 0.
This has been a KVON Sports presentation.